morning, good afternoon, or good evening, and welcome to another edition of the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. I'm Robert Dutt, head blogger at ChannelBuzz.ca, and as usual, your host for this little shindig. I know what you're thinking, it's only been a few short weeks since the last podcast. Hey, don't you usually wait for months before updating this thing? Well, yeah, there was a really long break between the previous two episodes, but that's a little bit out of the ordinary. We're back in short order this time, with a couple of big interviews for you, so let's get right to the rundown. First of all, joining us will be Shanti Gudwani, Senior Director of Healthcare for Cisco Canada, who joins us to talk about the state of the technology in the healthcare industry in Canada, where she sees upcoming opportunities, and of course, the role that solution providers play in reaching those opportunities. And then, from there, we'll be joined by Eric Gales, President of VMware Canada. You may have caught the headlines recently. Virtualization giant has a new Canadian channel chief, none other than Donna Whitman, formerly of Cisco Canada. It's a big move for a company that's setting out to really develop its own Made in Canada presence after previously being largely a satellite operation in this country. Eric joins us to discuss where Whitman will be focused in her early days, how his Made in Canada strategy is coming together, and of course, what the company's channel partners can expect from the new regime and the new strategy. Just two interviews this time around, but it's an impactful show. Let's get right to it. Healthcare is always a big issue in Canada, around the world, and in the channel community. And joining us now to discuss sort of the state of the art of technology in healthcare at this point is Shanti Gudwani, National Senior Director of Healthcare for Cisco Canada. Shanti, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
It's great to have you on. And maybe let's start with a little bit of sort of the rundown, the lay of the land. What is sort of state of the art in healthcare right now? What are healthcare organizations in Canada investing in terms of technology and particularly when it comes to future directions and not just keeping the lights on type of investments?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. And honestly, it's something we could probably talk about for hours, but really probably in a nutshell, the healthcare organizations that we've been working with and that I've been working and speaking directly with of late are actually really starting to focus on what I would call almost like a 5 or 10 year strategic plan as it relates to IMIT. A lot of organizations are really rapidly realizing that technology needs to become much more embedded in the work that the clinical organizational parts of their health authority or LIN or whatever their organizational structure is, are starting to really meld together and overlap. And what ends up happening there is now conversations now need to be had with IT as well as clinical organizations. So I think the days of where IT tends to stand alone as its own department in a siloed world, maybe deploying technologies, and then the clinical organizations will have to adopt those, or vice versa. Clinical organizations may make the request of IT, and unbeknownst to them, this technology needs to be deployed. Those conversations are now kind of falling by the wayside, and we're starting to see these two departments really coming together and collaborating together to create these types of strategic plans. And what it results in is really a win-win for IT as well as the clinical organization. So the clinicians, the providers, and of course, ultimately the patients are benefiting from advanced technological solutions that we can deploy in the healthcare realm. And IT is helping to make those decisions and also to deploy them more rapidly.
All right. I know telehealth is a big issue for Cisco, something that I've seen demoed by John Chamber and Jim Grubbs a few times over the years. And more recently, I think a lot of partners got a chance to see that at the Toronto Cisco event partway through this year. But for the benefit of those who haven't seen it, can you explain the concept of telehealth and how it works?
Yes, absolutely. So telehealth, actually, what I'll start off by saying, and this could be a bit contentious for some of the listeners, but telehealth really has a few different meanings. And I would go so far as to say that we really have not seen what true telehealth or telemedicine would look like to date. The technology is available, and we can actually deploy that technology. When I say we, I mean Cisco, and also in collaboration with a lot of third-party medical device vendors. But we have really yet to see a true robust telehealth or telemedicine program that has yet to roll out. In my mind, what that looks like is the ability to use technology. Video conferencing is certainly at the very heart and soul of this interaction, because if we're not actually face-to-face as providers with our patients, the next best thing is to get as high definition or as high quality of a video interaction as possible. So absolutely, that is core. And I think that most of the programs that you will see that offer what we're calling telehealth throughout the country will actually be using high definition video conferencing. Most of the times it stops there. And so what I'm advocating for, what my platform is and what we're looking at in terms of the telehealth definition, is deploying third-party medical devices. And there are a number of companies that provide these so that we can actually have at our disposal as providers the full breadth of diagnostic tools, from a stethoscope all the way up to an ultrasound or an EKG, a high-definition exam camera, scopes that would examine all different orifices of our bodies, and have those at our disposal as well, too, so that the provider can actually observe biometric data as it's being measured real-time with the patient right there in front of you on the other side of the screen, to help us better make clinical decisions and diagnoses on what we need to do in terms of the care plan for the particular patient. So that's something that we're really focusing on. I think what you were alluding to in your question around what we were displaying at Cisco Connect in May in Toronto was actually taking it even one step further, which was a mobile wellness and telehealth unit. So this is a unit called Care Connect Here, and it actually can travel with this particular type of technology in it, and it can move around from, let's say, rural community to rural community and really help deliver that care and increase accessibility to citizens that are living outside of the urban areas.
And that's a huge issue in Canada. I mean, I think we all either have experienced or know someone who has troubles finding healthcare, even if they're not too far outside of a major city in Canada.
Absolutely. I mean, we're seeing, even if you live within the GTA, for example, or within the Greater Vancouver area where I live, sometimes actually getting from Vancouver to Surrey will take you well over an hour, depending on what the traffic looks like. And so when you look at travel time, productivity loss, if it's a child, you know, work hours lost, school time lost, all of these opportunity costs really start to add up and provide value for a telehealth conversation to be had. And that exists well within urban environments such as, you know, Vancouver, Surrey, or Toronto, Oakville, for example. And so when we extrapolate that out and start looking at some of the really rural and remote communities, and we're running a really transformational pilot, although I will say it's well on its way and we're looking at scaling and replicating as we speak, but this is in a rural remote community in northern British Columbia. It also happens to be a First Nations community called Pakla Landing. And literally the physician, the primary care physician, would go in one out of every 4 weeks, either by a helicopter or through driving a logging road, a radio-only logging road, for about 6 hours. So true ultimate remoteness. And just because citizens or First Nations community members choose to live in these areas, for me, it doesn't necessarily mean that they aren't allowed to have the accessibility to care and urban specialists and urban primary care physicians or nurse practitioners the same way that I would, because I'm living in an urban center. So it's truly, telehealth is really a healthcare transformational idea for us.
Okay, great. Both in telehealth and in healthcare, more in general, what role do you see Cisco partners playing, and where are there opportunities for that role to expand right now?
Sure. I mean, I think really, you know, I get to talk about and have some really great conversations with clinicians and clinical decision makers around what I would call the point of care, the provider and clinician interface. And you know, that's a really exciting conversation to have. But really, when we think about it from a partner perspective, and we dial it right back down, none of this in terms of telehealth or interactions using technology would be possible without a solid grounding in sort of that network infrastructure piece. And really, what is key here is making sure that organizations have the infrastructure and the foundation in place to do what it takes in order to be able to deliver these types of interactions. That is obviously where we depend 110% on our partners to help us deliver that to those organizations. And it's everything from, you know, routing and switching and wireless and optical and all of these networks that are absolutely necessary in order to create these interactions that, as providers, quite frankly, we don't really understand how that works. We just know that it has to work in order for us to have those interactions. So that's really where partners with Cisco become extremely crucial to the conversation, because if we don't have that, we literally can't do any of these things at the clinical interface.
Okay. Is it vital for partners to work in this space to have a dedicated practice towards healthcare? Is this something that partners can really address at a more ad hoc level?
Yeah, you know, I think the beauty of networks and infrastructure and the internet and video, all of these things actually have horizontal applications, regardless of whether you're looking at healthcare or any of the other verticals. So I think the beauty of it is so long as, you know, partners in the channel have that expertise on understanding how to build out appropriate networks and really designing the infrastructure and the architectures that are necessary in order to get to these use cases and these clinical business problems that we're trying to solve, I actually think that you may not necessarily need dedicated healthcare experts there. As long as there are folks like me doing jobs in various other companies, or you know, even if you're working with Cisco, you have access to that type of subject matter expertise. That is obviously helpful, but I actually wouldn't say it's necessary. We do have enough specialists that are working around in that area to help out and to really work together as a team.
And I presume partners who don't necessarily have the depth of expertise in the field can turn to Cisco and folks like yourself to help balance that out.
Exactly. Yes, you've read my words. Absolutely.
All right. Great. You know, a while ago you mentioned the idea of the buyer changing, and that's something that I think a lot of channel partners are facing, with more IT decisions being pushed to marketing or pushed to line of business in various businesses. How do you see that shift impacting how your channel partners sell into healthcare and the opportunities they see in the space?
So I may be a little bit biased here, working in healthcare, but I don't necessarily think I definitely don't think it's a bad thing, and I don't necessarily think that people will really have to change their behavior in terms of how they're interacting per se. The reason I say that is because we, you know, have really the luxury almost, or the privilege and honor of having a public healthcare system. And because of that, every single one of us has been either a patient or a friend or a family member of a patient. And, of course, because healthcare is considered by some, and if you've ever read Jeffrey Simpson's book, Chronic Condition, you know, he will call it a national icon. And so what healthcare means for us as Canadians is something very different than what, you know, other verticals may be able to discuss, if you will, with their customers. Because it really touches each and every one of us personally, I think it's a really easy conversation for us to have, and it's actually really easy for us to really empathize almost and walk in the shoes of healthcare organizations and understand what they're trying to solve. So I think that we've got, for me, you know, I think it's a really easy story to tell, and it's a really easy conversation to have with our customers. And I think it would be easy for the channel as well to just sort of putting it into that context of understanding how well we must all know our healthcare system as being patients, or at least touching the system in some way.
It's hard to avoid at some point in your life knowing something about the healthcare system, that's
exactly.
For sure. Shanti, thanks so much for taking the time. Any parting shots for the channel community in the healthcare space?
I mean, one sort of parting thought I'd like to leave everyone with is, you know, the technology is moving at such a rapid pace. The healthcare space is typically known to be one that is risk averse. But I really would hope that that isn't impeding or you know, allowing people to avoid conversations to have with healthcare organizations. Because as I'd mentioned earlier, with strategic initiatives and plans that organizations are starting to build out, it is a very, very exciting vertical to be having these conversations in, looking at the future of what a smart hospital might look like, moving actual healthcare outside of the hospital and into either alternative levels of care, be them assisted living facilities, long-term care facilities, or my favorite, into the home. And how can we actually deploy healthcare into people's homes? I think that these are really, really exciting topics, and even starting to look broader at medical cities and how we can innovate and help our customers really innovate and create transformational opportunities in healthcare. It's a great conversation to have, and it's a great space to be in, and really looking forward to working with our partners in the channel on that as well.
All right, great. Shanti, thanks for taking the time. It's been very insightful.
Thank you.
All right, and joining us now is Eric Gales, who is no stranger to the channel community, to put it mildly, and heads up VMware Canada. Eric, thanks for taking the time.
No problem, Robert.
You know, a couple of weeks ago when we had the opportunity to chat at VM Forum, you hinted at me that you'd have an announcement sooner than later on channel leadership, and you weren't kidding. You've gone out there and brought a rather familiar name and a big name back to the Canadian channel community, bringing on Donna Whitman as new channel chief. First of all, can I get your thoughts on getting Donna aboard to fill that role?
Yeah, we're obviously very excited to get her on board. I think, you know, as I indicated back at VMworld and then, you know, recently at that meeting we had, you know, I'm very focused on making sure that we have the right leadership for our channel organization here in Canada. It was a role that I had been pursuing for a while. We had some great applicants, but when Donna became reavailable, then obviously she's a known quantity to the market. She's a known quantity to me. And we're very excited to have her on board. I think she's going to make a great deal of difference for us here in the Canadian market with our channel partners.
All right. Can you talk about? I know she's just starting this week, but can you talk about sort of her early days priorities and where you have her kind of focused as she gets into the role? Aside from the obvious, you know, getting to know where the lunchroom is at VMware Canada and those sorts of things.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, as you know, I was brought on board to really build out a Canadian subsidiary. The VMware operation here had really operated as a U.S. satellite for some time, and that meant there were lots of hands in the pie, lots of different leadership that was projected in from the U.S. I came in to really reassemble a Canadian subsidiary, and one of the key areas there is to put some focus back on the channel, because I think we had sort of too many chiefs to some extent. So to a large extent, Donna's role is to really cement the resources we have here in Canada from a channel perspective, build a sort of more coherent strategy for all of our channel partners across the solution areas we're focused on, and then start to look at how do we make smart investments, particularly around channel management and enablement and alignment with our own field sales force. I got a lot of feedback from the channel when I came into this role that they felt we could do a better job and perhaps we'd lost our way a little bit. So I'm really, you know, excited about getting Donna on board to sort of champion a rejuvenation of our channel operations and building relationships with our partners, because, you know, I see a tremendous opportunity. We've had a long-standing relationship with many partners in Canada, but the opportunity is ahead of us now with the software-defined data center, our end-user compute strategy, and our hybrid cloud service. I see a lot of new opportunities, and you know, that requires a lot of leadership from a point of view of engaging with our partners, and I think Donna's going to really help us to achieve that.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about the timeline for some of those goals, and what do you see this new channel structure looking like? Is this still going to sort of heavily reflect what we see out of the U.S. and out of VMware corporate, or is this going to be a much more Canadian optimized organization?
I mean, for sure, we want to optimize for Canada. I think, you know, one of the things, again, that, you know, is often sort of missed when you try and manage a Canadian business from the U.S. is there are some big, you know, big challenges, some differences. One is obviously the sort of the geography, the distribution of the, you know, where the conurbations are and how you deploy your resources. And then obviously solving for two languages as well. I think unless you're close to that, you don't really appreciate how important that is. So we're really going to try and build a channel operation here that matches our requirements in Canada. In the Canadian market, we serve every size of customer from SMB to the largest enterprises. And because of that, we have a real requirement to embrace the broad range of different channel partners from distribution, ISVs, systems integrators, our large-scale resellers. We're really going to try and build a much more coherent strategy with Donna to project out into the market so we can line up our partners. The two big areas of focus that you know, I got a lot of feedback on, again, from our partners was we want a better sense of alignment in terms of what you're trying to do where and how can we participate and work together, and then how can we, through that lens, focus on getting the right level of enablement from a sales, marketing, and technical perspective. So we have a lot of those pieces. We're really going to look at how do we assemble them and prioritize them in a way to have more impact in the Canadian market, in the, you know, in the major geographies that we serve.
Obviously, Donna's going to play a big role in defining what that organization is going to look like and how it's going to be resourced. But what kind of timeline do you see for kind of bringing the vision to light more fully?
Well, one of the things I was really focused on was trying to make sure that we sort of brought some new leadership into that role before the beginning of our next fiscal, and we've been able to achieve that. So Donna, as you say, started at the beginning of this week. The good thing is that she's very familiar with the channel landscape in Canada, so she knows many of the partners already. She knows many of the leadership there. She doesn't have to do a lot of work to sort of build credibility there. She also knows, obviously, she knows me. She knows a lot of the people in VMware. So really where we're focused right now is helping Donna to really appreciate where we're focused, the solution areas that we're focused on, and then mapping that back into the channel ecosystem. We want to try and do as much of that work in terms of the key tenets of that, the alignment pieces, before we start the next fiscal, so that as we go into the next fiscal, we can sort of, you know, drive straight towards a high degree of productivity. So over the course of the next, between now and the end of the year, really, Donna's getting up to speed on our strategies, our products, our solutions, as well as our existing relationships, and she'll be spending a lot of time with our channel partners to hear from them about areas that we can help to improve and to align our business. So for me, the real kickoff of how we land that strategy will be going into the next fiscal year. But between now and then, I think there are things that we can do to both understand how we should prioritize, as well as start to look at how do we make smart investments so that we can really start the next fiscal with a clear strategy that we can express to our partners.
Okay, great. You know, you touch on the broader sort of strategy of building out VMware Canada as a Canadian organization. You know, certainly building out the channel leadership in that organization is a big part of that. But what else is going on, and where are you at in terms of that vision and that plan across the organization?
Well, I think one of the things that that's clear is the size of opportunity for VMware is now bigger than it's ever been. You know, these three big focus areas that we have, the software-defined data center, which really builds on the large install base we have, the large group of partners that we have that have been involved in helping our customers sort of realize the benefits of virtualizing their compute environment. The software-defined data center extends that paradigm to networking and storage and security. And in that regard, there's a tremendous opportunity there to continue to grow that footprint and added an enormous amount of value to our customers, and there's a lot of opportunity for partners to deliver services and products around that paradigm. And then in addition to that, our end user compute strategy, which I think is a pretty profound approach. It's quite different to many of the sort of our contemporaries in the marketplace. We see tremendous upside there. Again, we have a starting point with the install base of you, our VDI clients, but the end user compute strategy is much broader than that. It's about really embracing mobility with the cloud. So again, I think we see a tremendous opportunity there. And some of those partners will be involved in both of those areas, and others will just focus perhaps on one. So we see an opportunity to get a lot of focus around those solution areas. And then the emerging hybrid cloud strategy, and I think we are firm believers that most corporate and enterprise class customers will end up with some kind of enterprise, will end up with some kind of hybrid strategy. And we have a very complete strategy there to help our partners embrace the idea that there'll be some services that customers will run inside their firewall and some that will run outside their firewall. So across that full continuum, there's a lot of opportunity to talk to our partners about and a lot of opportunity to drive a higher degree of alignment around where we're going to focus with particular partners in particular customer sets. So that is the core of our strategy, is to really think through in each of those areas, what does this channel strategy look like? What is our value proposition to the channel? What is our value proposition downstream to our customers? How do we line up our resources and our investments to be effective in taking those strategies to market? So that's really where we're focused right now.
All right, great. And I think that answer kind of touches on some of this, but just to kind of wrap it all up and sum it all up, what can Canadian partners expect from Donna, from you, and from the VMware organization, both, you know, through the end of this year and into 2014?
Well, I think one of the things they've all been asking for is a lot more clarity about what our strategy is. What's our strategy? How do we get better aligned? How are we going to go to market together? How can we complement their investments with our investments so we can get a 1+1=3? So I think really, you know, my mission, you know, with Donna is to really respond to that feedback with a high degree of clarity around driving a strategic alignment with our partners. I think, you know, we're both known for being very frank and honest and pragmatic about our partner relationships, and we understand that every partner is their own commercial entity and there needs to be a win-win in any relationship we have. And I think that's something that, you know, people understand about the way that I approach working with our partners, and I think that they see exactly the same with Donna. So I think that's going to be welcomed. And then on the inside, really looking at lining up our enablement and our investments and our resourcing strategies to make sure we can fulfill the obligations we make with the partners. So those are the things we're really going to try and respond to, because those are the areas where we've had the most feedback. And I think if we can solve for those, we can build a mutually beneficial relationship with many partners across the three areas of solution focus that we have.
All right, great. Eric, appreciate your taking the time and look forward to talking to Donna about her plans once things are up and running and she's started to flesh them out. Thank you very much.
Great. Thanks, Robert. My pleasure.
All right, there you have it. That's about it for another round of the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. I'd like to thank Shanti and Eric for joining us, all our sponsors for making it possible, and of course you for listening to the show. I know we usually end this thing on a fairly upbeat note, but I would be remiss if I didn't take a moment on this Remembrance Day as I record this to remember all who served this country from before Confederation to Afghanistan and beyond. Also, it was with great sadness that I learned late last week of the passing of Dan Sotile, Chief Marketing Officer of Longview Systems, a longtime fixture in this channel community. To say Dan was a familiar face in this industry is an understatement, having been with Longview since 2000, when the company was less than a handful of employees. Dan had a great reputation as a leader, as an innovator in this community, and was personally very friendly and helpful to me at numerous points when our paths crossed. I'd like to offer my condolences to Dan's friends and his family, to the entire team at Longview, and of course, to everyone in this community, this close-knit community that was close with Dan. He shall be greatly missed in our little community. On that somber note, I'd like to end today's podcast with a moment of silence in honor of Remembrance Day and in memory of both those who've served and will serve our country, and of Dan.